All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our morning devotionals. Welcome back from retreat, everybody. For those who went, we had a great time at Camp Berea up in New Hampshire, as a whole congregation and as we celebrated. And what better way to really dive back into life after retreat than through some morning devotionals? So we'll be continuing in Mark chapter 9, and I'll read for us verses 14 through 29. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." So our passage today covers this scene in Jesus' ministry as he comes down the mountain after the transfiguration. And what waits for him is this scene that has a lot going on. There's a bunch of arguing, there's a crowd. He sees some of his disciples and they're going at it with some scribes. And at the center of it all, there is a father whose son has this unclean spirit. Now, what had the father experienced before he meets Jesus? Well, we know that his son had been afflicted from childhood. He tells Jesus this. He also tells Jesus about how destructive the spirit that's in his son has been. Because of it, the boy was made mute. He experienced seizures, would be thrown to the ground and foam at the mouth and grind his teeth and become rigid and be cast into fire and water, all these things. And this was an immensely daunting affliction. And I can't help but think of how much it must have pained the father to see his child suffer so much. Any decent father would want to move heaven and earth for the sake of their child, even more so in this situation where they're constantly hurting. But when the father gets a chance to approach the disciples of this Jesus figure who happened to be in town, who had this growing reputation of being these quote-unquote spiritual specialists, they couldn't help his son, no matter how hard they tried. But it was his lucky day. Some scribes appeared who were among the most respected leaders in Jewish culture, and they were supposed to have this spiritual wisdom and authority. But they couldn't help his son either. They actually start arguing with the disciples instead, while this child remained mute. And the father must have felt that the hope that he was clinging on to was slipping through his fingers. Something key that this father was realizing was that nothing in this world could truly answer the hope in our hearts. In that moment, there wasn't a scribe or a disciple or thing or tradition that proved that it could provide what this father was searching for so desperately. Over the course of our life, something that we might realize is that all the things of this world that we place our hope and our trust in, they inevitably fail. In the book of Ecclesiastes, which is considered one of the three books of wisdom, we follow the reflections of Solomon as he sets out on an experiment to see whether the answer to life laid in any earthly endeavor. And he used all the power and the resources that he had to pursue things like wisdom, pleasure, and success. And at the end of it all, he concludes that it was all vanity. It was all vain. It's so easy to look to the world for answers to our desires and our hopes. You know, but like Solomon learned and what this father learned, in the end, we're always left disappointed. And so we're brought right back to where the father in our passage finds himself. As he explains the situation to Jesus, there's this doubt and defeat in his speech. You know, he says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And it's a weird way to word such an important request to such an important person. It kind of comes off as rude and dismissive, as if this father doesn't really expect anything to be different about this new potential healer in front of him. And even Jesus sort of remarks on this father's choice of words. You know, "If you can do anything, Jesus, have compassion on us and help us." It is a weak prayer from the child's father, but fortunately, the one who heard this prayer happened to be Jesus. I do believe that this prayer that the father says led to his child's healing, but not because it was a powerful, spirit-filled prayer. It was because of the power and the spirit-filled nature of the one who heard it, Jesus. Our prayers to Jesus, they don't have to be worthy. They don't have to be this perfectly guided, carefully placed request. They just have to be genuine. That way we can bring our hearts with all its doubts and defeat and questioning to the one who can change it. And perhaps the father began to pick up on this as he talked with Jesus. You know, Jesus tells him all things are possible for one who believes. And the father must have been thinking, "I want all things to be possible. I want my son to be healed miraculously." But he must have had doubts at the same time. He had just seen two groups of people unable to do anything for his son despite having all of the supposed power and authority to do so. You know, there's this desire in the father's heart, and there's also this doubt. But we see that the father immediately cries out, "I believe, help my unbelief." The father's desire to see Jesus move in his life is so great that he doesn't wait for his faith to be solid and airtight. He has his doubts, but where else can he turn? Who else is inviting him to put his trust in them and see all things become possible? And so the father asks Jesus to help him to believe, even the parts of him that don't believe. And we see that this father's faith saves his son. Jesus commands the spirit to come out of the boy, and the boy is healed, and the father's desires are fulfilled. His prayers weren't perfect. His faith wasn't airtight. But the father saw that all Jesus was asking for was a little bit of trust. And with that trust, Jesus made all things possible. You know, as we spent the last few months preparing for our congregational retreat, I realized just how many things could go wrong. You know, from medical emergencies to transportation, worship, turnout, spiritual attack, design work, even Pastor David and his family's travels, all of these things. And it was really tempting to try to safeguard against these things with worldly preparations, just by trying harder and trying to do more work. But in the end, I'm actually so thankful for just how many opportunities we took as a church to pray for and to cover all these things. You know, God really reminded me that prayer is so much more important than any prep or arrangement that we try to figure out. You know, there were still parts of my heart that were anxious, that were stressed, but I'm so glad I brought those imperfect prayers to him. You know, what is your heart looking for right now? What desires or hopes might you have, but you're hesitating on bringing them to Him in prayer. Now let's remember today that our God is a God who makes all things possible, and our God is a God that helps our unbelief. Let's go to Him in prayer. Lord, we recognize that You are the answer, that there is no earthly thing that can really help us, that can really satisfy us in the long run. Lord, we're still figuring out our faith. There are admittedly still some areas that we're still learning to trust You with. But Lord, we want to commit to You. We want to believe. Lord, would You help us in our unbelief? Would You help us to overcome these areas that we're still not sure about? And would You actually show us so that we can continue to live in faith? Lord, help us to pray bold prayers to You, and may You answer them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.